Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Dave, we left them last week in a very painful situation. Here they were, one arm tied to the pier and the other arm tied to the boat, and the boat diverging away from the pier. Mm. So we were talking, of course, about the two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world and the attachments people have to that, and the kingdom of God and the attachments people have to that. Mm. And do you want to elaborate a little bit on that thought, Dave? Because, you know, as believers, surely we're in God's kingdom.
Well, yes. But have we ever really walked in God's kingdom? Have we ever really had the full experience of what it means to live kingdom of God life? Is there anybody in the whole wide world who's ever actually done that?
Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And nobody else.
Right.
But you know, before Jesus comes back, I believe the Holy Spirit will be poured out so that Christians actually come to be able to walk like that in kingdom of heaven life.
But Dave, even when you say that, now I know you're not saying that, but I know you're not speaking about legalism or anything here.
Mm.
But this message has been twisted into a legalistic message too often.
Yes.
The people will say, you're not really living for God, and you're not living a perfect Christian life. Do you see?
Yeah.
And so they're poke at you, making you feel inadequate, and turning conviction into condemnation through all this process. Okay. But here's the point, Dave, I'm trying to get to, is when I said somebody did this perfect life, his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the same guy, like in Deuteronomy 28, it says the blessings of God will come upon you if you are careful to obey everything that is written in the law.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you, David O'Rourke, obeyed absolutely everything written in the law?
No.
No, but
no.
Has Jesus?
Yes.
Right. So yeah. how are you going to receive the blessings of Deuteronomy 28?
Well,
by walking with Jesus.
Well, yeah.
You
yes.
Know.
Yes. But nobody, my point is, nobody has ever done that. Nobody has done that yet.
But surely some days we walk with Jesus.
Maybe for 2.7 seconds.
Oh, you know? Dave. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But here's the encouragement, is that the answer is in him.
Yes.
So that if you didn't do it yesterday, you can do it today and tomorrow. You can walk with Jesus.
See, here's the answer to the legalism perspective on that.
Yeah.
That you should be trying better. You need to do harder. You know, because we've done all that and that doesn't work.
Yeah, it brings death.
Yeah. So how is this going to happen? It's going to happen through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It can only happen through the power
but see,
of
that's
the Holy
the same
Spirit.
Thing again, Dave, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity.
Yes.
The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, there's a unity amongst them.
Yes.
So as we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're walking with Jesus. Hey, so powerful. Do you know what? When we were kids, let me tell you a story. My dad was a racehorse trainer, right? And we as kids used to go to the race meetings. My dad would have a runner or two. And we'd go to the Curragh races maybe. Even if he didn't have a runner, we'd go there. And the amazing thing was, we used to come to the turnstiles. And the guys on security and in charge, they recognised us. They recognised my dad, you see. He was very popular.
Right.
And they'd let the family in for free.
Right.
Okay. So they'd get us to squeeze in through the turnstiles. Right. That was great. And then when we're in the race course enclosure, there was these guys called white coats, we call them, because they wore white coats.
Mm.
And they were the security guys checking that if you had a proper badge to go into the reserved enclosure.
Right.
Which is where the posh people went.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Not the riffraff. And but we used to go up to the white coats and we used to say to them, I'm a son of Aubrey Brabazon. And they say, come on in. And they let you in without a badge because of the name, because of my father's name.
Yes.
And I got access there.
Yes.
But wait till I tell you the best bit of this story. There was a bit higher up in the Curragh race course, which was the private boxes for the millionaires and all the really rich people. And there were the white coats there. If you went up to them and you said, I'm the son of Aubrey Brabazon, it wasn't good enough. You couldn't get in on your own. But the one way you got in was if I was actually with my dad in person.
Right.
And they'd say hello to my dad and you'd walk right in. Right. And do you know what the nickname of the upper part was? And this is true, Dave. Ask any racing person. It was called the Holy of Holies.
Oh, really?
That's what they called it.
Yeah.
So I could get access into the Holy of Holies when I was with my father.
Yes.
See. And I think there's a fantastic lesson there about how we can get access to God. We go with Jesus, of course, you know.
Well, and
we
go
with
it.
His coattails.
Yes.
You know, we walk beside him.
Because, you know, God is preparing the bride for Jesus, and that's the bride without spot or blemish. And that's the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, it's not going to be that way because you and I have worked it out and got our lives and ducks in a row and got ourselves
got our
sorted
PhDs.
Out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen because of that. It's going to happen because the Holy Spirit will come.
That's
and the
right.
Holy Spirit will do this work. But what I've been thinking about is, you know, what's the shape of that work?
Mm.
And the shape of that work, it seems to me, is that it's very radical work in our lives. And it will be a bit like being on, you know, the pier and the boat and things being pulled out of our lives that just aren't all that pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so what I see in this is, you know, we've had this, an expression I have is, you know, the American dream.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Where, you know,
fill me everybody, again. What every, sort of American dream?
The American dream is everybody's entitled to, you know, a good life.
Or the pursuit of happiness. Was it?
Yeah. And that you're like entitled that. To that, you know, that mm-hmm. expect it.
Yeah.
You know, if you work for it, you can have it. The American dream. Well, we've had, you know, the American dream gospel.
Right.
Which is like, you know, everything's going to be fine and dandy. You know,
you're entitled to happiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus died on the cross to make you happy.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. And.
Mm.
And.
I'm beginning to smell a rat here. Carry on.
And so, you know, we've taken on a value of the world.
Yeah,
in our spirituality,
yeah.
and we have to get rid of that. And that, what that means is, you know, this song that we sing, and now I am happy all the day. Well, hey, you know, there'll be days when that just we won't want to sing that.
Mm,
You know, because it's a much bigger thing that's happening in Christianity now
mm-hmm.
Than we realize. That it's not about people being happy. It's not about, you know, the discomfort being taken out of our existence. It's about us being made ready for the return of Jesus.
That's right.
And we are so quick to try to deny pain or suffering as Christians because we think that that's unspiritual.
Yeah.
But
that is not. And look,
true.
Dave, we are in a spiritual war. I mean, if we were in the Second World War and you and me were paratroopers and we were dropped in behind enemy lines and Dunkirk or wherever it is, you know, and there was D-Day and we were there, you know, we'd have had a backpack, we might have a bit of food for lunch, you know, we might have garments to wear to keep us half dry, you know, but that'd be it.
Yeah,
there wouldn't be a kind of here's a weekend cinema ticket just to chill out, you know, or here's a bit of suntan oil for lying on the beach and, you know, just on your day off, you know. No, there's such a serious mission in hand,
yes.
You know, that everything was oriented towards the task.
Mm.
You know, things were stripped down to the bone in terms of provisions and things, but the essentials were given. You were given ammunition, you were given a helmet for your head, you know, you're given these basic things.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, sometimes we just go a bit soft as Christians. You know, we think it's all about happy days or something. Well, God will bless you because the inner happiness of knowing the Holy Spirit,
yes.
The joy of the Lord is fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely delivers you. But that's not the goal. That's not the focus.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, listen to Paul.
Yeah.
You know, in his writing.
He went through a few things, didn't he?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, struck down but not struck out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In
39 all lashes this. And all that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a bed of roses for Paul following the Lord.
Yeah.
And also not just external things that, you know, happened to him, but the internal struggle what we consider to be normal attachments to the world, to worldly values that we still have as Christians, and sometimes even spiritualize,
yeah.
You know, that that pain should not be part of our lives.
You know, Paul was left rotting in jail for over 2 years by Festus while he was off scratching his head, right?
Yeah.
And you know, instead of him writing about his bitterness and starting a Free the Birmingham Six or something campaign, or, like, do you know what he did? He just got on with writing half the New Testament, you know.
But
so we can see the sovereign hand of God in his trials.
Yes. But wouldn't it be very easy, you know, in that situation, to become very discouraged and think, you know, God gave me a mission and here I am stuck in jail, doing nothing about it.
Reminds me of Joseph in Egypt. You know, the brothers, right, ganged up on him.
Yeah.
First of all, the father loved him, gave him a nice coat, you know. They all got jealous, threw him in the hole, left him virtually for dead, flogged him some slave guys, okay? Yeah. They take him to another part of the world, effectively.
Yeah.
You know, they all thought he was dead. They showed the dad a bloodied coat to pretend he was dead, you know, so they could skive off and pretend that they weren't responsible. And next thing, he's in jail, and then he's accused of attacking the queen, which he didn't do.
Mm.
You know, how much worse does it get?
Yeah.
You know? And then isn't the baker and the, who's the other guy who's in jail with him? There's two guys.
Not the butcher, the cook.
The cook and the baker, right. And one of them was off with his head, you know.
Right.
Next thing, they were going to come for Joseph, you know.
Yeah.
And next thing they say, right, the king's after having a dream. So they say, what does it mean? They don't even tell him what the dream is.
Right.
And guess what? God raises Joseph up. Mm. God sovereignly shows him the dream and the interpretation.
Mm.
He shares that and things work out. He ends up saving Israel because Israel was destitute of famine and they came down begging to Egypt.
Yeah.
And guess who was the number two? They didn't even recognize him, Joseph.
Mm.
What a story. Here he was, thrown away, virtually killed, sold to slavery, far side of the world, accused of rape, da-da-da, this, that, the other. It couldn't get worse.
Mm.
And God raised him up.
Yeah.
And God's master plan in the whole thing was the salvation of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
You know, his own people.
Yeah.
It's just the wildest story ever.
Yeah.
You know, and all of that is like a mirror of our story, of Jesus' story, you know, of our redemption, you know, how God would save us.
And, you know, so... But what's the appearance of this now?
It looks a disaster.
Yeah, yes, but, you know, when we say a move of the Holy Spirit, see, we kind of think, you know...
Like
the revivals that we've had in the past.
Yeah.
But a move of the Holy Spirit can also be...
Like a shaking.
Individual people coming under a conviction that when Jesus returns, they want to be ready.
That's right.
And what that involves is, so a move of the Holy Spirit can involve a lot of detachment of attachments.
That's right.
And even, you know, on a level that maybe we're unconscious of at the moment.
Well, it's like that story. You think you're wearing a nice white shirt, you know, but boy, come under these super arc lights and the thing's filthy, you know, when the bright light goes on it.
Right.
And same thing happened in the Ulster Revival, 1859. You know, here was good church going, upright people, they went. And guess what? The Holy Spirit appeared and heavens were opened and people were saw hell open in front of them and they thought they were lost. Because it was like the darkness in their heart was exposed.
Yeah.
These were good Christian folk now, hang on.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, when the glory of God is manifest and opened up, you know, I tell you what, we all fall on our face. We all realise the woe is me.
Yeah.
But guess what? God is a redeeming God.
Yeah.
When Peter sank in that ocean, this is a wild story. Peter, the only guy, first of all, got out of the boat. They were all just having debates and being theological or something.
Yeah.
Peter decides to get out in the boat and walk with Jesus, okay? And then, you know, the story, he looked in the wind and the waves, took his eyes off Jesus, starts to sink. But guess what? Jesus, full of grace, reached out his hand to him, you know?
Mm.
So it's like, and he lifted him up. He didn't say, ha ha, Peter, you're drowning now. See, you missed it, you blew it.
Mm.
That Jesus didn't say that.
Yeah.
He reached out to him, you know?
Yeah.
What a story, you know?
Yeah.
What a gracious God.
Yes,
yeah.
And this is, you know, the bottom line is, you know, this is what the bottom line is, that when God wanted to, was thinking of, now, what would be the perfect bride for Jesus?
Mm.
He didn't look at angels.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he didn't say, oh, well, I'll have to create something really special,
yeah,
you know, that's an improvement on angels, an improvement on those wretched humans who never get anything right. He didn't say that. No, he said, I will go to work on those humans,
yeah,
and I will fulfill my purpose.
Yeah.
In that. Wow. If God says that, do you think it's going to happen?
Of course it will.
It's going to happen, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wow.
Amazing as it might seem, and ridiculous as it might seem to think that that God might even be able to do something like that in me.
Yeah.
How? Wow.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Gosh, what a story. I mean, really, that is the God we serve. He's a redemptive God. He loves you, you know, listener out there. He, like with a love like you wouldn't believe. And he's proven that love at the cross of Calvary, you know. And most people in Ireland heard the term the Lamb of God. Very few understand what it means.
Mm.
It's the fact that an innocent will be sacrificed to pay for the guilty. And that's what Jesus did. He paid everything. He loved you and he redeemed you. It's like you make something, Dave. I think you're a potter, aren't you? You're able to make pots.
I can do that.
Imagine you made a beautiful cup one day and you really loved this cup and it was your favourite mug for coffee and everything. And suddenly it's gone missing or something. And years pass by and you walk by a shop, a secondhand shop one day, and you look in the window and you see your mug.
Mm.
And you think, wow, there it is. And you go into the shopkeeper and he says, that costs 10 euro, right? And you happily pay over 10 euro.
Mm.
And you buy that mug back,
mm,
you know.
Mm.
Now, you could have gone in there and had a big argument and sent a lawyer in to go and kind of win that cup back without paying anything. But no, you paid the full price to redeem back what was yours, your creation in the first place.
Right.
You see,
right.
How much do you then own that mug?
Yes.
Not only have you created it, but you've redeemed it.
There you
go.
Know,
and there's the story of God. God bless you and thank you for listening. This is Pilgrim Talk and this is Anthony Brabazon saying goodbye.
David O'Rourke saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye
well.
Too. And God bless you all. Bye. Thanks for listening. Bye.